The scripture this morning is from John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands." Wow. Try that again. "Put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones that are recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. This is the word of God spoken for the people of God.
Thank you, Barb. John straight up tells us something here. He says that first off, his gospel only records a few of the events that happened to Jesus' life. And I think that's important to know because what I think about that is, first off, I think there are a lot of great stories in here, but if there's more, I want to know what they are, don't you? I mean, I'm curious and fascinated to know all about Jesus' time that he was here on earth and all those different things that happened. But even though I'm curious and feel like I want more of those, John tells us we don't really need any more than that. What he does tell us is that what the stories he's giving us, the examples that he's giving us of Jesus, is certainly enough to show us God's love. It's enough to show us God's mercy. And this information is enough to show us how to believe that Jesus truly is the Messiah, the Son of God, through whom we receive eternal life. Now, the last 2 weeks, we've talked a lot about believing. We've also been digging deeper into the scriptures to see why these stories of Jesus' appearances are the ones that God chose to be in here, why he had John and the other gospels write them. And we've also been trying to answer some questions as to where these appearances were happening, when they happened, how did Jesus show up, and then why? Why did he show himself to these people? Why did he show up? And why, again, are these the ones in Scripture? Now, the first week we talked about the Scripture when Jesus appeared to the two believers on the walk to Emmaus. God made it so that these two gentlemen could not recognize who Jesus was. So all of a sudden, this stranger is just walking along with them, and they're talking about the events that happened in the last week, pretty tragic events that happened during what we know today as the Holy Week. Now, as they're talking with Jesus, they're telling Jesus, number one, they don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Even though the women witnessed it, they heard what they said, they saw the angels, they are not believing it. Probably because as soon as Jesus died, they gave up hope then and there. They gave up hope, they decided they were just heading back home. But as this stranger walks along with them on this path all of a sudden, he starts reciting and reminding them of what the old scriptures said. What all those old scriptures said about Jesus Christ, how he, the Messiah, was going to come, how the Messiah was going to die, how the Messiah was going to rise again. It wasn't until they got back to the house and Jesus broke bread with them that all of a sudden they recognized and they saw it was him. But one great thing that happened long before they even recognized it was him is that Jesus was teaching them something very special. He was teaching them, number one, to look at scriptures for your answers. Look at what's going to happen in your scriptures. Then also to take them and understand what they mean, how to put them into what just happened in that past week. Now, last week we talked about the scripture when Jesus saw the disciples face to face for the first time. at least 10 of them, all except for Thomas. They were certainly overjoyed at this, but they were also shocked. They were very stunned that he was actually standing in front of them. Now, you'd think they were expecting this because Jesus told them at least 3 times this was going to happen. But this was such a tragic way that Jesus died. It was way more than they ever expected. So they were shocked and they weren't quite believing it until it happened in that upper room behind locked doors. And all of a sudden, okay, with a locked door, Jesus is all of a sudden standing there. He wasn't a figment of their imagination. He certainly was not a ghost. They could touch him. And he even ate food in front of them to prove that he was real. His body was different. It wasn't like the body we live in. It wasn't like the body of Lazarus, who he raised from the dead and gave a restored human body to. Jesus could disappear and he could reappear wherever he wanted, whenever he wanted. He was immortal. No longer could his body get hurt. No longer could it get weak. No longer could it get sick. No longer could it even die. And what we're told is this is the kind of body you and I are going to get. How cool is that? So we get this wonderful example right here in this story of the kind of resurrection we're going to have, and then the kind of great body that we are going to have when we get to heaven. We're going to be way better off than those comic book characters that I mentioned last week. We're going to be even better than Captain America. You believe that? We're going to be better than any immortal body that we as human beings can imagine. Okay? It's going to be even greater than that. So here we are again. We're in the upper room. This time 8 days later, so just about a week later, they're behind locked doors again. And why are they behind locked doors still at this time? Because they're afraid. They're afraid of what Jesus' enemies are going to do to them. So they're hiding out. And at that first appearance, remember, Thomas wasn't there, but he's here at this one. And all of a sudden, there Jesus is. Now back up, just a couple days before this, or about a week before this, when Jesus did appear that first time, as I told the kids, his friends did fill him in. His friends told him all about what happened, how amazing it was, how they could touch him, how he wasn't a ghost. Jesus was real. He really raised from the dead. But Thomas, for some reason, just says, I'm not going to believe it. I don't believe it. Not until I can see for myself. Not until I can touch for myself, touch his hands, touch his wounds. I want that proof myself. I wonder if Thomas felt a little left out. I mean, think about it. All these guys that you've been around for 3 years, okay? You've been hanging out with these guys. You'd think he'd believe them. But one way or another, why didn't he get the sighting of Jesus? We don't know where Thomas was. We don't know if he was off at the store picking up supplies. We don't know if he was just taking a walk. We have no idea. But one way or another, he wasn't there. But why couldn't he have his own sighting of Jesus? Eventually, he gets that. But it's 8 whole days later. Jesus shows up and he says to the guys, "Hi, peace be with you." And then he immediately turns to Thomas and he says, "Go ahead, Thomas, touch my hands. Go ahead, touch my side. See, touch it, believe it. Just one way or another, quit doubting, quit being faithless." And Thomas didn't need to touch him. He didn't even do so. Instead, he just fell right to his knees. And when he dropped to his knees, he just said, "Lord, yes, it's you. God, yes, it's you." And Jesus wasn't hard on Thomas. He didn't beat him up for doubting. He didn't beat him up for not believing. He knew deeper into Thomas's heart. And Thomas really was still very loyal. He was loyal to the believers. He was loyal to Jesus. I think some people just simply need to doubt to believe. And I know that sounds weird, and I know that sounds like it contradicts what faith really is, but hear me out on this for a moment. If doubt leads to questions, and questions lead to what? Answers, usually, right? And if answers are accepted, then isn't doubt a good thing? Couldn't it be a good thing? It can certainly be used in that way. It's when doubt becomes stubbornness, and stubbornness becomes our lifestyle, that then our faith is hurt. The trick is that when we doubt, we don't stop there. Okay, we don't let it make us bitter. We don't let it make us stubborn. We don't make our mind up and just be narrow-minded and focused just on that. Instead, we open up. And we ask questions, and we look. We look around. We explore. We search for those answers. Doubting was not Thomas's lifestyle. So the very first thing I want to say to you is, I know over the years you've all probably heard it, doubting Thomas, doubting Thomas. I want you to erase that out of your minds. And the reason I say that is because in John 11, we see another glimpse of Thomas. And here Jesus is saying to the disciples, we need to go back to Judea. We were just there a couple days ago, but we need to go back. Lazarus has fallen asleep. And the disciples are like, all right, he's asleep. That's no big deal, right? But that's not really what Jesus meant. And he explains that. He says, no, he's died. We need to go back and we need to raise him. But the disciples put up this block of fear and they say, well, you really can't do that, Jesus. We can't do that. And they're afraid because what happened in Judea just a few days before that was Jesus was almost stoned to death. All right, so they're fearful for Jesus' safety, but also for their own. They don't want him to go back, but guess who steps up? Thomas. Thomas does, and Thomas says, let's go. Let's do it. Let's go, and if we die, we'll die with Jesus. That doesn't sound like a doubter to me. Doesn't sound like a fearful man to me. Instead, I think he had some bravery there. Also, I believe that his doubt has a really big purpose. His doubt about Jesus' resurrection not only had a purpose, but it gave him a huge curiosity. It gave him some reason to dig deeper. It gave him reason to want to know more. Thomas didn't run off. He didn't just give up. He didn't take the road to Emmaus. He didn't take the road back home, wherever that may have been. He didn't just get up and leave. Instead, he was waiting for 8 days for his turn. Probably looking over his shoulder, listening, waiting. When am I going to see Jesus? Have you ever just wished that you could see Jesus? That maybe you're struggling with a decision and, you know, you just really need that advice to know exactly what to do. You may get all sorts of different pieces of advice from people and you just wish Jesus would stand right in front of you and say, this is what I want you to do. This is what you need to know. This is what you need to do. Here it is. And life is going to be okay. Wouldn't it be nice if he could just stand face to face in front of us and tell us that? I've had those moments where you just feel like you need that physical sighting of him. That's what Thomas wanted here too. Thomas, who experienced this crazy last 3 years and then this even crazier last week, wanted this proof for himself. The thing of it is, though, is that God says, you know what? I'm not going to limit myself. I'm not going to limit myself to just one body, because if I'm only one body, I can only go one place at a time, even if I can disappear and reappear. But he doesn't limit himself. Instead, God has a much, much wiser plan. He has this plan where he can be present with all of us at all times, all at the same time. And that's with the Holy Spirit. In fact, that Holy Spirit is in each and every one of you right at this moment. It's right here with all of us as a body, but it's in each and every one of you as an individual as well. You can talk to him. You can talk to Jesus. You can talk to him out loud. You can talk to him in your mind. You can talk to him and you can hear what he says. It's right here in the pages of the Bible. I believe that Jesus is as real to you right now as he could be if he was standing here in person. He is in us. The hard part for us is believing what we can't see, and that's why Jesus says to Thomas, you know what? You're blessed because you get to see me face to face, so you can believe easily. But really, blessed are the people who can't see me, who won't see me face to face like this. Blessed are those who will believe. Now, some people think if they could just have that one moment, that defining sign or miracle or whatever it is, then they would believe. But Jesus says, you don't even need that, okay? You have all the proof of testimonies of all the believers who saw him and beyond. We have the proof in our own lives and our own testimonies, let alone all the believers that are here today with us and what Jesus has done in their lives and how he's worked with them. That's our proof that Jesus is real. That's our proof that Jesus is still here with us. A physical appearance would not make Jesus any more real than he is right now. Now, as for the question why, we don't know where Thomas was. We don't know what he was doing. We don't know why he wasn't keeping real close with the disciples. But without Thomas being absent in that first sighting, we wouldn't have the story. There would have been no importance to put this story in, but instead by putting it in, we get to see what we need to do with doubt. I think we're all naturally doubters at some point or another, okay? Even if you're really positive and you try to stay up there, at some point in your life, you're gonna doubt. You're gonna question and you're gonna doubt. The biggest part is if you question with that doubt. This story gets to show us what we can do with that doubt and not give up. Thomas didn't give up. He waited and he watched, and Jesus showed himself to him at the right time. My best advice to you is to use that doubt. Use that doubt to lead into curiosity, to lead into finding that truth, because you're going to be blessed for it. And something just to think about, something to take home with you today. We have faith in God's works when we see that they finally come through, right? So, you know, all of a sudden we're finally healed, or we finally got the job we were looking for, or this really worked out. Then we know, okay, you know what, God, you were in that. That's great. That's wonderful. Now we really believe. What if we believed from the very beginning? What if we believed from the very start, the very first thought that, you know what, God's got this. God is real. God is going to do this. He's going to make it happen. How much more would we see of God in those trials? How much more would we see of God in those moments? And then how much stronger would our faith be for the next time and the next time and the next time? If we could just start with believing. We can float through life every day, just going about, taking it as it comes, or we can be ready. We can be ready and we can believe, so that when we do have to wait for that moment when Jesus does speak to us or shows us something, we're okay. We're going to wait, and we're going to look for that truth in all aspects of our lives. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you have given these stories to us, these sightings of real believers, real people who saw Jesus face to face. It's those moments that give us hope and show us really how to believe. We too are going to see Jesus face to face one day, and we're excited about that, Father. But until that moment comes, make our faith so strong. Make it very noticeable in our lives that you're working everywhere. Let us be ready. Let us already believe before the things happen that you're going to see it through, that you've got our backs, that you're in control. Lord, strengthen our faith. Strengthen it in one way or another. Maybe it's going through an experience. Maybe it's just hearing these words today. Whatever it is, strengthen our faith so that we can truly be ready at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.